Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Yep, they're back. Our crazy audience. They are just so excited to be here. All right, settle down. You, sit down. Okay. There's no donuts. Okay. All right. Well, today my guest is Randy Rubing. He has more than 25 years' experience building, managing, leading customer support organizations, and has a reputation for offering honest, how about that, practical advice based on over two decades spent in the call center trenches. He's led service departments ranging from small startups to multi-site international customer service organizations. During the course of his career, he has managed over 50 million incoming calls. His service strategies and opinions have been profiled in numerous industry publications, and he's a frequent conference speaker as well, so keep that in mind. Today, he helps organizations obtain service excellence through operational and cultural consulting. His book, Call Center Rocket Science 110 Tips for Creating a World-Class Service Organization, offers real-life practical advice for those in the customer service industry. In his latest project, he's helping companies with their workforce scheduling through a brand new site he's got going today with callcenterforecaster.com. So be sure to check that out. So welcome, Randy, to the show.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and thank you for your enthusiastic audience. You always bring out the huge crowd.
I know. They just love it, love listening to the advice from our guests. So today's discussion, which I'm really intrigued by, is that never-ending battle of scheduling and forecasting workforce management, which I'm sure many of our listeners out there are constantly pulling their hair out when they're trying to do this.
Yeah.
And so you've had such a long-term experience in doing this yourself with hands-on experience. Why don't we just start with what do you see as the biggest challenge within this the scheduling arena?
Well, I'm going to answer that kind of in two parts. I think
sure.
When I think about forecasting scheduling, I think there's kind of – I separate it into two parts, and one is what I call the math, right, which is just you need to have a formula and you need to have a system. You need to understand how many calls you're going to get, how long those calls are going to take. Based upon that, how many reps you need on the phone, and understand where the deltas are. And it's just math, right? And if you don't have enough people, then you can't answer the calls.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times there's someone at the company who says, oh, just answer the call faster without giving you more resources.
Sure.
And in those cases, you're like, well, it's just math. And no, we won't unless we get more people. And then the other part is the art, what I call the art of it, which is given where you're at, what can you do to kind of adjust your staffing either on the fly or in the next couple of weeks without affecting morale, right? Because there's things we know we're short-staffed or overstaffed. It happens the same thing. A lot of times, not as much that we find ourselves overstaffed. It's a similar problem. Like, what can you do about it other than, you know, that will not affect the morale and that will actually get people to, and your reps especially, to work with you instead of it becoming this big thing where, you know, oh, there's mandatory overtime or something and everybody gets upset and it becomes a morale problem.
Right.
And I think, you know, you asked what the biggest challenge is. The math, I think, is kind of a function of your size, right? When you're small, you've normally got some poor supervisor who spends all this time on a spreadsheet trying to figure out how many calls we're going to get and where our people are scheduled. And that works okay, although the poor supervisor spends way too much time on it and may or may not have a good idea of how to forecast. And then when you get large enough, then you buy some big expensive system, which will theoretically tell you how it works.
So
it's the companies in the middle, I think, that have the most problem. They're big enough so that they need some kind of system and they get more intelligent about it. But they can't yet afford, it doesn't quite pay for itself to buy a system yet, right? Those companies are the ones that are kind of in the middle. And I think, you know, there's something that we can help them with. But the art of it, I think, is actually the bigger challenge, which is, I know I'm going to be short on next week. What am I, you know, I don't have time to hire people actually in a week. What am I going to do about it?
Right. I see that a lot. And then you've got now with the multi-channel call centers, right? You know, you're staffing for our, because the last guest I had on, we talked about, you know, do you train people for chat and social media and then just have certain people do calls? How do you balance the skill set, you know, and in addition to just the scheduling component?
And then how do you forecast for volumes around that, right? Because chats take X amount of time. Are you going to assume that the rep can do 3 chats or 2.1 chats at a time? What does that mean if they're also trying to take phone calls? And I'll tell you, that's a great question. Scaling the agent across multiple channels, which seems like such a great idea, but in reality, it's incredibly difficult to do. And my experience with the reps is it really can be hurtful on morale, right? Because they like to focus, and everyone likes to understand their day, right? And and it wouldn't be so bad if I told you, look, I'm going to ask you to take phone calls for 4 hours, and then after lunch, I'm going to ask you to do chat. So if you can, this is the part about it. If you can really get your forecast correct, then you're okay, right? But if I'm taking chats and I come up to you and I say, oh, I need you to jump on the phones right now, well, the first thing that happens if you're a chat rep is you go, oh, now I got to do a phone call. So the next thing you know, that last chat drags on and on, and then I decide I need to go get a cup of coffee. By the time I get back to the phone, then it's not effective anymore. Right. And if I'm trying to automatically send calls back and forth to you, the rep is kind of in that mode for, oh, I'm going to do some emails now. I've got some time to look stuff up. And also, boom, it pops. They have a call in their ear. They have to put that email aside. Then they have to go back to it. They have to start the research over. So it seems like such a great idea. Why don't we just throw all kinds of crazy things at these reps and they'll figure it out. But, you know, think about the poor
rep perspective. Meanwhile, they're making 10, 12 bucks an hour, right?
And they're like, right, exactly. For some reason, we think we can stress out. These poor reps. I always try to view things from because 108 years ago, I was a rep on the phone, and so I try to remember back to those days where these things keep getting pressed on you, right? And they're continually being thrown at you because it sounds like a good idea, you know, from the executive room. Oh, we can have all these channels, and we can just send them to the reps, and they'll be so happy to do variety in their work.
Right. Well, what happens is, and what happens is, Randy, is I imagine a rep's in the middle of like, oh, I got to research this problem. Mm-hmm. I said I'd get back to the customer. Meanwhile, they get distracted with, I got to get on the call, and the ball gets dropped.
Right, and then we're dependent upon the reps. Exactly, because we're dependent upon the reps' individual organizational ability at that point. Right, because we've interrupted them, right?
Yes.
And so I think the reality is, my experience is, it works much better to let them specialize and only do it when you have to, right? Particularly you see this with email reps, where one of the things that always fascinated me with email reps is we create these templates, right, for email reps to use so they can go faster.
Yep.
Inevitably, every time I've gone and set with the best email reps, they've created their own templates. I'm like, wait. If these templates are good, I want to use them for everybody. But for some reason, those reps become very, very good at certain phrases and things and the way that they do it. And at some point, I realized it's better for, you know, I'm a big fan of standardization, but in some cases, it's better to let them do it once they've proven themselves. And they're much faster. And almost every great email rep I've seen has kind of their own little system. And when you throw them off of that system, it doesn't, you know, all of a sudden their productivity is shot. And if you try to use their same system with other people, it doesn't always translate as well.
Doesn't work,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And so, it's the same kind of thing. I do the same thing with chat. You can have reps that are really good at chat, and then you ask them to be on the phone, and not so much sometimes, right? I think, my experience is just letting people specialize is always going to be more efficient, almost always going to be more efficient.
Yeah. I read a piece of research that pretty much stated the same result. You think cross-training is great, but at the end of the day, you're going to get a much better quality experience for the customer when somebody's specialized. So that goes back to the scheduling challenge then.
Right. One thing I would say that's interesting, though, is when you're training people, it's often good to train them on different channels to make them better at their individual tasks. And I'll give you an example. Email reps. I've had reps that I've hired specifically to do emails, and I'm like, I'm going to make them great email reps and not going to do anything else. But they never really became good until I put them on the phone for a while, and then I put them back on email. They had a huge jump in productivity. And I realized it was because there's a different pressure, right? And when you're on the phone, you learn how to do things much more quickly, and you learn how to better anticipate what the customer means, not just what they say. And when you get an email, sometimes you only get half the story from the customer, right? There's a question behind it, right? And so once they've been on the phone, they understand that. So I'm a fan of when you train them, even if they're just going to do emails or chats, you also put them on the phone for a while during training, and then you bring them back and let them specialize. And I think that's the highest productivity.
Yeah, that's a great point, because a client of mine today that I'm working with, their reps are challenged with asking a problem-solving question. It's a tech support call center, and just don't assume, like, if somebody can't get in, their password's not working, whatever. So they're forcing them to ask more problem-solving, probing questions, where in an email you may not naturally do that.
Right.
Yeah,
and so then you'll get off on the same page. And next thing you have three or four, email. It seems like you're doing – this is one of the things about forecasting and scheduling that's difficult is – a phone call, you have a first call resolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And email, you have a different resolution. It may only be, maybe like a 1 to 8, 1.8 emails per customer interaction or something. And so you have to account for that. I've seen a lot of times people, when they're forecasting, they go, okay, I'm going to get 1,000 emails today. How many reps do I need? I'm like, well, you're going to get 1,000 new emails.
You're
going to get 500 questions back about those existing about the replies that you sent out. So you actually have to balance a load of 1,500 emails, right?
Yep.
And so often
yep.
that's not considered. And then another challenge, if I may, can I just shotgun a bunch of challenges on the workforce world?
Yeah.
Is the increasing complexity of our calls in the call center. Because the web is picking off, obviously, all the easy calls, right?
Yep.
And so when
yep.
we used to have a highly predictable range of talk time, for example, the talk time range now is much more extreme, and the bell curve of talk time by call is so different now. That's a huge challenge. And what I mean is it used to be, when I started in business, 90% of our calls were between 2.5 and 5 minutes. And now you might have a couple, 1 or 2 minute calls, but then you're going to have a bunch of 20 to 30 minute calls for most centers.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's because over time the calls are increasingly complex. And so the forecasting models often they're challenged by this because they're using, a lot of times average talk time, right? And, if half your calls are 30 seconds and half of your 30 minutes, it's not the same as each call being 15 minutes, right? And so that's a big challenge for centers.
Yeah, because I was talking to a Discovery card one day, and she says, if somebody's talking to a live person, there's a problem. You've gone through all the self-service stuff and can't resolve it. So the fact that you're, get me a live person on the phone, and by then you're probably not very happy either. By the time you get there.
Right, well.
So you got to deal with that issue too.
And this is really, in my mind, the biggest challenge in our industry and change. It's, this is what makes outsourcing so hard now. It's what makes offshore so hard now. It makes everything so hard now. And, we keep hearing about how, artificial intelligence and these bots are going to answer a huge percentage of our calls going into the future. And if that's true, let's say they answer 90% of the call, boy, those 10% are going to be really hard. The ones that are left.
They are.
And so, and so that's a huge implication on the type of rep that we need. It's a huge implication on our scheduling, everything, right? And
well,
I, to me, that's kind of the big industry trend.
It is. And so where was I? I was giving a speech the other day, and I talked about how customer and employee retention is so critical, especially now with the unemployment rate so low.
Yes.
But we're in now what they call the on-demand economy, meaning, you know, if I have a job at a call center, I don't like getting yelled at all the time. So I can go out and be an Uber driver, or I can go out and work in an Amazon warehouse. I can go out. There's a lot more choices for that unskilled labor to go now. So, you know, in balancing that challenge of skill set with the restrictions somewhat around the compensation and things like that, balancing morale and people's schedules and things like that, it has a bigger impact to the organization.
Right, absolutely. We have to begin to look, and everyone's going to say this, but they're rarely going to fund it. Right.
If
we have to begin to look to the rep as a more important and crucial part of the business, and we all say that, but what we don't do is pay them accordingly. And I think that that's going to be a jump that we need to make. And you know, a higher level, more professional service expectation from the rep, and they're compensated appropriately. And I just was in this I won't call it a debate, but a discussion the other day, where someone said, oh, the reps are the most important part of our business. And I said, really, do you pay them like that? Or are they the lowest paid people in your company? And they're like, And I go, okay, well. And it's
you're
critical,
right,
though, because, you know, our labor costs and customer service are one of the highest budgets in the company, right? And so there's constant pressure to reduce that. I think the reduction, though, the temptation is to keep that low through low rep wages, frankly, but I think that that's the mistake. The first chapter of my book is called Save Money by Paying Reps More, where I argue that to get a higher level rep, compensated higher, keeping them, lower your attrition costs, lower your callback costs, lower your number of escalations is really the key to savings. But you have to look at your budget then and your kind of the whole forecasting model a little more holistically, right? And not just about churning through each phone call, but actually rating the whole interaction, right? You know, it's two phone calls. One phone call at 10 minutes is certainly better than two phone calls at 6 minutes. And that's the thing that people that we really need to understand when we budget.
Yeah, I love that because it's it's just going to, you know, either that or, you know, set up work from home agents, you know, something that, you know, is more attractive. And so technology allows us now to manage those people virtually more and more.
Right.
You know, certainly the simulator I have, you know, we can certainly ensure that they go through a simulation and they perform correctly. You know, you don't have to be standing over their shoulder watching them doing the transaction. So there's a lot of ways to offer them more flex schedules or work environments and things like that that factor into, which could actually open the doors for the scheduling concept, you know, if you're not restricted to physical bodies coming into a physical space.
Right. Well, and with those models, with the work at home models, you have a lot more flexibility in terms of scheduling, right? For many places I know that use work at home models, they're able to create kind of a bid system where you can just show these are the available hours and then reps can go and sign up for the hours that they
pick
want.
It up.
And just plug themselves in. And as long as you know, it's like a bid out process, right? Here's the hours available.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the top performers of by seniority, however they want to do it, they get the first choice and then they kind of go down the line. And then they know where they're short, you know, they can offer incentives for
those
hours that people don't want, for example,
or
change the prices and things. And that seems to be happening more and more, and that makes a lot of sense to me. The problem, of course, always with work at home is you don't have, you can never ask the guy next to you. And so and today, no matter how much better we get at training, there's so much of the training actually still happens on the floor by asking that guy next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always the challenge. And you know, most people don't want to talk about that because they go, well, gee, you know, our training program is great and we have this nesting, but all those things become so much harder from work at home because, again, the calls are harder, right? If it was just, you know, when I started, it was telling someone their balance. And that was, you know, you could do that very easily with what I'm training, but,
very easy.
No one ever calls me after balance anymore.
and I would say one thing that I've suggested in other kind of environments is providing them with some way of instant messaging, like or assign them a buddy, you know, assign them a buddy, let them have instant messaging up, but then also build in constructive time for them to just interact with each other when they're not, you know, having some kind of social element to that so they get to know that person. There's a more casual kind of relationship where they're comfortable doing that.
Right, right. So you're exactly spot on. Whenever I've worked with people doing work at home, I've had kind of an internal chat help room, either direct chat, one-on-one message, or a chat room, or use rooms kind of for more social purposes. It's amazing to me how in this day and age when we're so distributed, once you actually know someone, how much more likely you are to give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's certainly true with reps and the people who they're asking questions to. And it's so easy if I'm remote and I'm stuck on a call to feel like you're treating me like I don't know what I'm doing or vice versa, not being helpful. And a lot of times it's just perception. But once you get to know the person, you give them the benefit of the doubt, it works so much better.
And that's
one of the things I've always been fascinated by. We do so much remote stuff today, and yet it's still so much about personal interaction, even with all the remote stuff we do.
Yeah, and even if you have physical locations, you know, allowing those different teams to interact virtually with, you know, or compete with each other, even, you know, certain things.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's certain locations that have contests with each other. But I was watching the technology was something like, it wasn't Yammer, but it was something like that, and allowed you to have multiple video screens up. And I stumbled across a channel where these guys were having every Friday a whiskey drinking hour.
So you
would sit there, they would pick
a
virtual happy hour. Not that, you know, everybody's at home, so it's not like they're going to get in their car and drive home. They're already home, you know, so.
Right.
So not necessarily encouraging necessarily drinking, partaking in alcohol, but something like that where you can't get together out of the office anymore, or at the office there's not the birthday cake celebration or whatever that you have. You know, maybe it's just the monthly birthday celebrations you get on virtually.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, look for those opportunities that you used to have in traditional environments.
Well, the cultural part is so key for the call center, right? Because again, you have some of our, you know, it's a tough job, right? And so making that environment a place where people, you know, and I always say, you're never going to make the environment so much where people are going to say, oh, yes, I get to go and take calls today. Right. But I always say you want to take people out of the market. Right. You don't want them, as you mentioned earlier, you know, they could go, you know, drive Uber or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want them thinking about that all the time and going online to look that up as they're taking that phone call.
Sure.
They're thinking about every phone call. And the next thing you know, they're online trying to figure out what else they could be doing. So if you can create the right environment, you can just kind of take them out of the market. Right. And again, it's a low paid job. So a lot of times I always say that to reps, if you get offered a job making 25% more, by all means, take it, right? I wish you'd stay, but I want what's best for you. But if you can just keep them from actively looking, I think that's so much a part of it. Because the attrition cost, particularly as we're talking about, calls are getting harder, training is getting harder. Having that knowledge of experience is so crucial these days. The attrition is really one of the factors that I think that people don't realize how much we spend in attrition, right? Because the constant retraining, and it's the low productivity because you're new, right? That's one of the challenges.
Yes.
To get back a little bit to forecasting and scheduling, one of the challenges I see people almost always do is they say, look, we're about to have the Christmas season starts, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, or on Cyber Monday, so I need, you know, 100 more reps on the phone. But what they do is they hire them, you know, 3 weeks in advance, and they've got those 100 new reps starting on that day. Well,
yeah.
Their productivity
yeah.
is only half that
like,
day,
oh.
right? And
exactly.
And not only is
yeah.
their productivity half, they're lowering their productivity of everybody around them by asking them questions. And
mm-hmm.
so on this day
exactly.
that you need them, everybody's productivity is shot. And so, yes, you have the right number of people on the phone, but you don't. But your productivity is going to be much lower than expected. And so you actually need to hire them a couple weeks earlier to get them up to speed by
yep.
that time.
Yep.
And that's a classic mistake that I see almost everybody making.
Yeah, I see that a lot too, and they call it the ramp up time. We got ramp up time. It's like,
right.
You know, how long is that? But I see a very compressed schedule for training, which is actually works in my favor for my product because if people actually have
right,
the simulator,
you could
still have that compressed window of time, but have a better trained rep. But you know, so I
right.
just got to get the word out there. But the end of the day, what that impacts is customer satisfaction, your customer relationships, and as you know very well, your call center is a single point of failure. If there's a
right.
bad situation
right.
there, they're going to leave, you know, no questions asked. And,
right.
you know, so that's,
well,
you know, again, the pressure of all that.
And it's worse today because they have a bad experience. Not only they're going to, you know, they're going to leave. They're going to go on social media and tell everybody else about
mm-hmm.
it too, right? So just because
multiplied.
Now it becomes a brand issue, right? It's multiplied.
So kind of as we're, you know, we've got like 3 minutes left. So is there any? I don't know if there's any technology that you have seen that helps with scheduling, or is it just, you know, basic. Knowing your environment, knowing your workforce, knowing how to balance all that.
Well, at risk of kind of doing a quick commercial, what we're
oh,
trying
sure.
to put together with callcenterforecaster.com is to just do it for you, right? On kind of a subscription
okay.
model. One of the things I've mm-hmm. seen is that even if you buy a simple system. People then have to learn the system. They have
mm-hmm.
to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to think, what if you could just get the reports? What if you could just get
That's
the information
a great idea.
And just be
yeah.
and just be told, this is what you need to do throughout your day in order to meet your service level goals and in advance. And so we're trying to provide something that just gives you the information. You don't have to learn anything. You don't have to do anything. Just get the information. And I think that
wow.
could be helpful to a lot of people.
Well, yeah, just imagine the amount of time they get back on their schedule. The person
right.
doing the scheduling
right.
would have more time on their schedule.
Right, because right. you either have, because if you're small, like I said, you have the poor supervisor who gets delegated all this stuff, and that's all they have
mm-hmm.
time to do. And if you're a large company, then you have a workforce manager, which is appropriate if you're large enough, right? But then that's all they do. But it's the people in the middle where it's really too much work for a supervisor, but you're not really big enough yet to hire a whole workforce team, that I
yeah.
think there's a real opportunity of just getting someone to just do it for you. So that's what we're attempting to do.
I think that's a fantastic idea. So when is this platform going to be available?
Well, we're going beta in just a couple of weeks. So people can go out now and begin to sign up if they're interested, and we'll contact them. And we're looking to beta the product by the end of the year.
Okay. And I know you do speaking and appearances. I don't know if you're appearing in any upcoming trade shows or events.
There's this great podcast I'm going to be on right now. But I have a huge crowd that cheers me on. That's the only thing I have scheduled right now.
Okay.
You know, if I get enough cheers
and
there,
how can we get,
video,
can we get your book on Amazon or?
Yes, you can. Please do.
Okay. Perfect. Well, yeah, definitely want to do that. So, just to wrap things up here, you know, certainly check out Randy's book, Call Center Rocket Science, 110 Tips for Creating a World-Class Service Organization, and go out to scheduling call center, callcenterforecaster.com.
Call Center Forecaster.
And
yes,
start
thank you.
Getting your call center schedules done for you, which I think is fantastic. Fantastic. So our audience, they're just jazzed about this as well.
They're excited about us.
So well, thank you, Randy, and we look forward to seeing your results. Take care.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Have a great day.
You bet. Yep.